Welcome to NHL Draft Class, the debut episode of our new podcast. We're going to talk everything about the NHL Draft. I'm Adam Kimmelman here, Mike Morial. Mike, the NHL Draft Lottery was Tuesday night. We both watched it. If you're a fan of the New Jersey Devils, you must be really happy. Twice in 3 years now, they've won the draft lottery.
Glad to be here with you, Adam. NHL Draft Class, the debut edition. Real excited to talk prospects. See the next wave of NHL talent that's going to be entering the league real soon. But yeah, the draft lottery was awesome.
So Ray Sherrow, the day he signs a contract extension, he gets the number one pick in the draft for the second time in 3 years, the chance to most likely draft Jack Hughes. Taylor Hall was on record the other day saying that, hey, we need more talent. I think Jack Hughes fits that bill.
Absolutely. You know, Taylor Hall, you know, said publicly during his pressure that in order for him to re-sign, and he wasn't committed to anything at all, he said he needed to see more of a commitment by the Devils to add more talent to their roster, and he knows the draft is a part of that. He knows free agency is a part of that. But let's be honest. I mean, the Devils finished 29th in the league this year. You have a player here that's going through a season, his final season under contract. So if the Devils are going to sign Taylor Hall again, they need to have something exciting, something to happen. They need players, better players in this system.
Jack Hughes.
To get the number one pick, that's a, you know, it's a feather in their cap.
Yeah, Jack Hughes certainly fits that bill. And the Devils got number one. The New York Rangers at number two. The Chicago Blackhawks move way up to get number three. So how surprised were you to see, you know, the New York metropolitan area very well represented moving forward here at the top of the NHL draft?
The Rangers had the sixth best odds of winning the lottery, and they moved up four spots. It's the first time they'll pick in the top three since the NHL expanded 12 teams in the 67-68 season. And then you look at the Chicago Blackhawks, who picked number three in this draft. The last time the draft, Adam, was held in Vancouver, which was 2006, the Blackhawks had the number three selection. And who did they take?
I think it worked out pretty well. A kid by the name of Jonathan Taves.
Jonathan Taves.
Worked out okay. A couple of Stanley Cups later, they're in pretty good shape. But, you know, everyone's going to talk about Jack Hughes. The 2019 draft is the Jack Hughes draft, much like we had a couple of years ago, the Connor McDavid draft, the Austin Matthews draft. This is the Jack Hughes draft. And, you know, I don't use those names lightly, McDavid and Matthews, but when you look at top-end talent, top-end skill, Jack Hughes has all of those things. You just watch the way he gets up and down the ice. He's not, look, people are going to look at the size. He's 5'10", he's 170 pounds. He does not intimidate with his size. He intimidates in a different way. His speed, his vision, his offensive instincts, the way he moves the puck, the way he shoots the puck. He is a scary guy in that way, and that is the way you intimidate in this era of the NHL. You don't have to be a Milan Lucic, Tom Wilson size necessarily, 6'4", 220, 230 pounds to scare defensemen. You can be 5'10", 5'9", with elite skating skills, elite offensive instincts, and be that kind of offensive force, and that's how he projects to be. Look, we saw all the records he set with the national team program this year. You watched him up close in person more often than I did. There's no doubt he's the best player, the most talented player available in this year's draft.
Quite simply, Adam, I mean, it's his skating. I mean, he's just so elusive when he's on the ice. Doing the things he does is, you know, are magical things. He really makes teammates around him better. And that's the ultimate compliment, you know, when you hear scouts talk about Jack Hughes and how he's able to make players around him even better. He does that every time he's on the ice. You know, the coaches always say, this is a player, when you watch him skate, it's never a stop-start with Jack Hughes. It's always fluid. He's always moving. He's so good on his edges, and that's what makes him such a special player. Not to mention the smarts, the hockey smarts that he has. So you put together the compete level with Jack Hughes, the skating, and the smarts, you have an exceptional talent here.
And it's not like he's afraid to go into the corners or afraid to go to the net. You don't get the number of points that he had without being that guy. I mean, we saw it. He bumps guys off pucks. He plays against bigger, stronger guys in NCAA hockey. So he's not afraid, but he's also smart. You know, and you put him in the same realm as Patrick Kane, as Johnny Gaudreau, as DeBrincat. You know, guys who know they can't be physical forces, but they have to do it in other ways and be smart. I think Jack Hughes absolutely is smart in that way. To me, he's the number one pick.
Yeah, and the other thing I just wanted to mention there, Adam, too, is I spoke to Jack Hughes about these comparisons with Patrick Kane, and while there might be some type of comparison because of the size differential, Jack told me that, yeah, Patrick Kane, when he first entered the league, he had that speed, but now he's able to slow the game down. He's able to bring players to him and then make that quick move or that quick shifty move, you know, to the faceoff circle and get some offensive chances. He says he likes to play the game like a Matthew Barzal. He likes to go out on the ice, speed. He wants to show how fast he is. He wants to generate speed and be in an attacking mode. I'm not going to say that he has Connor McDavid speed at this stage in his development, at this stage, where he is right now. But I will say that it's very close, and the movements that they make and the fluidity with which Jack Hughes skates, there are some very, very good similarities with Connor McDavid and how he skates.
All right, let's bring in somebody else to talk about our mock drafts that you can find on NHL.com. Guillaume Lepage from the NHL offices in Montreal. And G, in your mind, was there any debate about whether Jack Hughes should be the number one pick in the draft?
No, absolutely not. In 2017, I was the only one going with Nico, but now I agree with you guys. He's the most dominant player of this draft class. Even if Kaapo Kakko at second had a really good season in the Liga, I don't see any way that Jack Hughes is not the choice for the Devils at number one.
Well, thank you for reminding us of that 2017 draft there, Jay. Appreciate that one.
Yeah, I don't think that actually happened. I have to go back and check the records on that. We'll go back. So number two, if we're all decided on Jack Hughes at number one, Kaapo Kakko, I think it's sort of the same debate. There's really the gap between, if the gap between one and two is big, the gap between two and three I think is pretty sizable too. You look at Kakko, 6'2", 194 pounds. He's already excelling against men. You know, 22 goals as an 18 and under player in league, the top league in Finland. He sets records for most goals in a season, most points in a season by an 18 and under player. He's going to make the Rangers. He could easily step into a top six role for them next season.
Yeah, Kakko is the type of player that really excels under pressure. The games that I've watched him and the video that I've seen, he's a player that stands around the crease. He looks for the puck. He wants the puck on his stick. And when he gets it, he makes things happen, whether that be a cross-ice pass, a seam pass, backdoor pass. He'll go to the post. He'll look for rebounds. He's the ultimate player in that regard. He's got some good size there too, Adam, and you know he's going to pound the cage and look for those rebounds. Now, people have asked, is he a centerman? Can he play center in the NHL? He's got the size to do it. He told me that he played center as a youngster, and when I say youngster, talking between the ages of maybe 11 and 13, but ever since since he's played in Liga with TPS, he's been on wing. He's played both sides wing, and he's excelled in that position. And when I asked him where he is most comfortable, he did say, right wing is my specialty. Now, he doesn't have the NHL shot that a Patrick Laine might have or an Alex Ovechkin off the one timer on the power play, but boy, he can generate pucks to the net, to create rebounds, to create offense. He's a dynamic player. And Dan Marr, the director of NHL Central Scouting, told me that right now Jack Hughes is 1A and Kakko is 1B. So they are that close. We still, all three of us, believe that Hughes will be the number one pick. But I don't think there's any doubt that if Hughes goes one, Kakko goes two.
I have to wonder, Kakko's going to play for Finland at the World Championships. Hughes is going to go to the under-18s. Let's throw a for instance out there, and G, chime in on this too. Kakko goes to the World Championships against men. Dominates, 11, 12 points in 8 or 9 games out there. Hughes dominates at the under 18s, like the way we all assume he will. Would that put into the scouts' minds who might be split or might be leaning towards Hughes? Kakko does it against men on the international stage. Does he do it? Is that enough to pop him into number one?
Well, I don't think so because, Kakko is playing against men since the beginning of the season. So it's the same thing for me. Kakko is maybe he's bigger than Jack Hughes. He's used to playing against men. So I'm pretty sure it's not going to change anything in the ranking. Maybe some people will look at that at this that way, but. I'm pretty sure that Jack Hughes is a lock for me at number one.
Yeah, one thing I want to say there, Adam, Kakko no doubt played in a men's league. He excelled in that league. But I also want to stress that, Jack Hughes played against college competition not only this season but last season and did extraordinarily well against players 20, 21 years old. And we're talking about a obviously last year he was 16 years old, this year 17 years old, playing against high caliber college kids. And in the USHL too, that's a rough and tumble league. You know that. We all know that. Older competition, older kids. So and some of which have been drafted already. So Hughes really held his own against older competition. But the fact that Kaká was able to play in that men's league and do as well as he did, no doubt might, you know, be a have a significant impact in the minds of some scouts and general managers.
All right, so we've spent enough time talking about one and two. We're going to talk about them, you know, a lot now between now and June, the draft. But let's look at number three, the Chicago Blackhawks. We all sort of, this is where the paths diverge. If you're following our mock drafts on NHL.com, for me, I thought Vasily Podkolzin, the Russian player, just an elite skill set. I think he'd be the guy. I think, you know, in talking to scouts, they kind of give him a little bit of an edge over the other guys that are available at that spot. You have to be patient. He's not going to be able to come over right away, but he could be one of those guys. You know, we saw it with Evgeny Kuznetsov. We've seen it with other players coming from Russia, that if you just have a little bit of patience, they will make it worth your while. I think Podkolzin could be a guy like that. You went with Dylan Cousins from Lethbridge, and that was sort of, for me, that was kind of a really splitting fine hairs there. What put Cousins in your mind ahead of Podkolzin and Doc there?
The main reason is that Cousins is a center. I was looking at the center line for the Blackhawks. You know, they have Taves, but behind, they got Dylan Strome this year, but I think that Cousins would add would be huge for them at center. They're stacked with good young defensemen, Joki Aho, Boqvist, Beaudin, and I think that if they add Cousins, which is a pretty big forward, 6'3", 180, he skates really well. He can do anything at high speed, and you know, guys, the speed is the name of the game now. So if they add Cousins a couple of years down the road, I think the Blackhawks will be really happy with their choice. The center line will be very, very complete with Cousins, Strome, and Taves that is doing his thing again, even if he's not a young forward anymore, but he still can produce, and he showed it this year. So Cousins for me, because he's a center at number three.
All right, Mike, position bias, it's a huge thing. Centers ahead of wings, we all understand that. So what put Doc ahead of Cousins then?
Yeah, and just to kind of piggyback off of what G just said, you know, I like Cousins a lot. He did a lot for Lethbridge, led, you know, was second on the team in points, did so much in the playoffs. And while I liked Cousins and was actually considering him there, I do like Kirby Doc just a little bit more. They're both big forwards. They can both dominate the game. Cousins does it with pure speed and putting pressure on defensemen, and Doc does it by reading the play, creating and reacting off the pressure that's coming at him. So you have a more cerebral player in Doc, who to me seems just a tad bit more mature than Cousins, and I think has that kind of that NHL look about him. Hey, things can change. But that's why I like Doc a little bit. Good size there at 6'4", 197 pounds. Jeez, what are they feeding these guys in the dub? Strength, playmaking ability, a maturity to his game. So in that case, that's why I have Doc at number three, Adam, and Podkolzin, who you have three, I have going to the Avalanche, yeah, at number four.
Yeah, I like Cousins for that spot. For a lot of the same reasons you guys, especially G said, you know, they need depth behind Nathan MacKinnon, right? Tyson Jost, I think, can still be a very good player. But if you put Dylan Cousins there with MacKinnon and Jost, that's pretty impressive depth for a team that, oh, by the way, they're starting up their playoff run, and here they are with number four, and they've got a couple of really outstanding young defensemen coming. This is you know, we talked about 2017, and I don't remember what happened at number one with all of our predictions. That's, you know, long since gone. But it was the same thing. They had the best odds at number one. They slipped to number four. And who do they end up with? Potentially the Hobie Baker winner and Cale Makar. You know, I think Lightning could strike twice. You know, they're getting the best college player at some point. I think Cousins, after Jack Hughes, I think he could be the second best center in the draft. I just like the way he gets up and down the ice. To me, he's got the size. He's got the skating ability. He can go blue line to blue line, goal line to goal line. as well as anybody in this draft. And the size, the 200-foot game, to me, I think he has the chance to be an elite player. Let's go to number five. Number five, we got the Los Angeles Kings. Bowen Byram, first defenseman coming off the board. What puts him in that spot for you?
When I saw him play at the Linka Gretzky tournament in August, he was one of the best defensemen in the tournament. And I think he's going to be the first defenseman to be drafted in this draft. The Kings, they've got holes at forward at the blue line, but I see a couple of good centermen coming. Like they've got Rasmus Kupari, Gabe Vilardi, Akil Thomas, Jarrett Anderson Dolan. So you know, their center are getting older, but it's the same thing at the blue line. You look at Drew Doughty turning 30 next season, and Byram is. I mean, he can do anything. He was third in scoring for the defenseman in the WHL this year. He has elite skating. He has good vision. So for me, Byram is the best defenseman, and I think the Kings would be really happy to have him at number five.
You can say it, G. I mean, Bowen Byram is the best defenseman available in this draft, no doubt about it. I totally agree with you. You know, he was Vancouver's best player, and if he wasn't their best player, he was their second best player because – he impacted the game every time he was on the ice. You know, he led the Dub among defensemen in goals this year. He set a record for points with the Giants. He's had such an impact on that club since he's been there and since the Giants drafted him in the Dub a few years ago. And, you know, I really think Bowen Byram, you know, he's a player. I'm not going to say he's NHL ready right now, but I will say that possibly after a year's worth of developing and training one more season in Vancouver, he will be ready. I have spoken to some scouts that actually said that if he gets into a training camp and impresses, they can see him maybe going through that trial of 9 games with an NHL club just to see the impact he might have along the blue line.
See, I like Trevor Zegras for that spot with the Kings for a lot of the things that G said. You know, they're getting older up front, but they have a lot of holes there. Zegras could be one of the top centers in this draft, but he also can play on the wing. He played with Jack Hughes. He's got that versatility, so I like him in that spot. And Byram, I think, goes number six to the Detroit Red Wings. They need youth on defense. You know, they have a lot of older guys, a lot of guys who, you know, don't really have that look of being elite-level defensemen. Bowen Byram looks like an elite-level defenseman. 26 goals this season. So, yeah, to me, he seems like a no-brainer for that spot to Detroit. But you guys both like Alex Turcotte there. So, Mike, you've seen Turcotte. You've been out the national team program. Why is Alex Turcotte a guy that we think can go this high?
You know, Alex Turcotte, to me, is a player. He kind of reminds me a little bit of a Zach Parise type player. I mean, he's a centerman, though, but he does so much. He's good on the attack, very disciplined. But he gets under people's skin. His coach, John Wroblewski from the U18s, actually said that he has a little bit of Brad Marchand in his game. Not to the extent that maybe Brad does silly things.
We're talking about the good stuff.
And he kind of gets under the skin of other players, and everything kind of gravitates towards Alex, which gives other players an opportunity to maneuver and do the things that they are good or so good at. But Alex Turcotte, to me, I mean, he can score from anywhere. Hey, and by the way, he's billeting with the Hughes family while at the U18. So he's learning from Jack Hughes as well. They're good friends. But he, you know, when I watched him play with the U18s in Plymouth, he was their second line center, right behind Jack Hughes. He had an impact every shift, a spectacular two-way player, likes to back check, will do that quite often. Is good in the faceoff circle, and Dan Hynote, who is an assistant coach for the U18s and also works on faceoffs with the team, told me that he is one of the better, if not the best, faceoff guy for the NTDP this season. So everything about Alex Turcotte I like. He's a solid player. I think he'd be a great choice here for the Red Wings. And let's face it, the Red Wings staff had an opportunity to watch him plenty since he's in Plymouth.
Hey, G, you're in Montreal. I know you're a big Brad Marchand fan. I know he's got a big fan club out there. But Alex Turcotte, I mean, you got him in that same spot. You must like a lot of things about him that Mike does.
Yeah, I was actually reading a story from a colleague who spoke with the coach, John Wroblewski, and he was saying that since he came back from his injury at the beginning of the season, Turcotte had been the most valuable player for the NTDP. So when you look at that team with you got Jack Hughes, Zegras, the fact that the coach says that Turcotte was the most valuable player is a big thing for me. And you know the Red Wings, they drafted Philip Zadina last year. He's a winger. I can really see Turcotte playing at center with Zadina on his wing. That will be a great line for the Red Wings down the road.
All right, number seven, the Buffalo Sabres. And this was something that I looked at, and when I saw Cole Caulfield still sitting there, he's a guy that I've watched a lot of just on video this year, and I might have him too low at number seven. He's a guy that, you know, we talked about Jack Hughes with the size factor. Caulfield, 5'7", 162 pounds. But you watch him play, he can score from anywhere on the ice. He can get to anywhere on the ice. And forget the size, forget the numbers on the back of the on the back of the hockey card. He scored 54 goals this season, playing against, like we talked about, NCAA players, 21, 22 years old, fully developed guys, and he made it look like it was nothing. He's a dynamic scorer, but what I really like, what really stood out to me when I watched, he moves the puck so well, very similar to Phil Kessel, who ironically enough, his records he broke at the National Team Development Program. He's a guy that can create time and space for himself because he's got that great shot, he moves well, but he can set up his line mates. He moves the puck so very well. He's got great vision, great hands. You know, and I know it's an era now where players that size can prosper. Like I said, I might have him too low. He could even go, I think you can make a case for him going in the top five. I can just imagine that if the Sabres are lucky enough to get him, Jack Eichel, Casey Mittelstadt playing in the middle, seeing that talent level come in, whether it's next season, 2 seasons from now, they've got to be just so excited to know that that caliber of player, if he's available, could end up with the Buffalo Sabres.
Yeah, one other quick note there, Adam. You know, Caulfield, of course, he broke the goal-scoring record at the NTDP. And this is just to make a point of how dominant this National Team Development Program was this year. It was Caulfield breaking the goal-scoring record, Hughes shattering the assist record, and the points record. This is a team, Adam, that could have as many as between 7 and 8 players going in the first round. The record for the number of players directly from the NTDP to be drafted in the first round was 4. So it would be shattered if they go 7-8. And we're also talking about a goaltender in the mix there too, and Spencer Knight, who was just outstanding this year. So this National Team Development Program is really a special team.
All right, I want to jump ahead. We're gonna no offense to the Anaheim Ducks, but we're gonna skip them for a minute. We're gonna go to the Vancouver Canucks at number 10. And you guys both have Matthew Boldy going there from, speaking of the national team program. Gee, what about Boldy stood out to you as saying he's a guy that could fit? And they have so many good offensive building blocks there in Vancouver with Pettersson and Horvat and Besser. What put him in that spot for you?
I like how he works down low. He's always very intense in the one-on-one battle. He's very efficient with his stick. He has a big body too. So, and you can see like how he shots the puck. His release is very good. He might have one of the greatest shots in this draft. So that's what stood out for me for Matthew Boldy. I think he can be a great addition to the Canucks. Like you said, they already have young guns like Pettersson, Besser, Horvat. So with Quinn Hughes at the blue line, I think Matthew Boldy would be a great fit there in Vancouver.
And if you want to follow along as we're doing going through this podcast, NHL.com, you can see all of our mock drafts, all three of them, and win one spot here on the site. We're gonna So the Philadelphia Flyers are at 11, Minnesota Wild at number 12. Gee, I'm with you, Arthur Kaliev from the Hamilton Bulldogs, 51 goal scorer this year. Minnesota hasn't had a talent like that since Gabrick left. Which is amazingly 10 years ago. I watch him, you know, obviously there are some holes in his game as far as his skating and his top-end speed, but 51 goals is still 51 goals. He's a dynamic offensive force, and you talk about Boldy with the shot. You know, if you want to YouTube Arthur Kaliev highlights and just watch the way the puck just explodes off his stick. To me, he seems like a perfect fit for there. Did you see similar stuff with Kaliev?
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to ignore a scorer, a 51-goal scorer in the OHL, number 12. I've seen some rankings. His stock seems to have gone a bit down since the beginning of the season, but I know he's not always the most hard-working forward, but when you look at him, the shot he has, the way he finds places to go on the ice, he knows how to pass the puck. Also, we don't forget that he had 51 assists too this season. So a big scorer like that, I think the Wild would be crazy to pass on him at number 12.
What was it Al Arbor said about Mike Bossy? I can teach him to play defense. I think when you have a talent, I'm not going to, believe me, I'm not sitting here comparing Arthur Kaliev to a Hall of Famer like Mike Bossy, but the skill set is the skill set. You can light that fire and get him to play defense, or at least put him with a guy who can play defensively to cover for him. Either way, the talent is what the talent is, and I think he's a perfect fit for that spot. Speaking of talented players, Mike Morial going off the board at number 13 a little bit. Goaltender Spencer Knight from the U.S. National Team program. Obviously, you know, Florida has some goaltending issues. Roberto Luongo's 39. We don't know what the future is for Luongo, for James Reimer, for Sam Montembeau, who played some games this year. Spencer Knight is your guy there?
Oh, what other records could the NTDP possibly, these players possibly, you know, achieve? Spencer Knight, the most wins in over 2 years at the NTDP. Spencer Knight, to me, and Al Jensen, who we know, guys, works for NHL Central Scouting. He's their goaltending evaluator guru. Told me that Spencer Knight reminds him so much of Carey Price and his demeanor in the crease, what he's able to do. He's rarely out of position, has great instincts, really efficient in his movements and what he does, and is consistently squared at a shooter. Look, the Panthers need goalie prospects. They need goalies in their pipeline. And, you know, with new head coach Joel Quenneville coming aboard, you know, they need someone that's going to be there 3-4 years down the road. And we're looking at all these young goaltenders that are entering the league now, Gene, Adam. You know, you look at Binnington in St. Louis. You look at Carter Hart in Philadelphia. Mackenzie Blackwood, even, with the New Jersey Devils and what he's been able to do this year. You know, you need young goaltenders in your system. You need real good quality goaltenders. And not to say that teams aren't going to be looking at goaltenders in the second and third round here, because they will. But Spencer Knight is special. And when you get to this point in the draft where it's maybe 13, 15, you know, you're looking at players that will benefit your team not only possibly in 2-3 years, but, you know, 10 to 15 years down the road. And Spencer Knight is that caliber of talent as a goalie.
All right, so we got Arizona at 14, Montreal at 15. Jay, I'll open it up to you. Who kind of jumps out to you in those spots?
I have Ryan Suzuki with the Coyotes. And for Montreal, I don't know if it's more a wish than what's going to happen, but I have Philip Broberg. I don't really think he's going to slide that much, but for Montreal, they need a big lefty defenseman, and I think Broberg is the one there, man. If he slides to 15, I'd go all in with Broberg. He's big. He can skate. He carries the puck from end to end. So that would be a great fit for Montreal, because he could play with Shea Weber on the first pair for a couple of years. Philip Broberg for me is the pick for Montreal at 15, and Ryan Suzuki at 14. He's a smart player. Arizona likes smart player. They drafted Barrett Tatum last year, so I think they'd go in the same path than last year with Ryan Suzuki.
Yeah, I like Ryan Suzuki to Montreal. Just a chance to play with his brother Nick Suzuki, who was a Vegas first round pick, but he got the Montreal in the Max Pacioretty trade. Mike, what do you want to finish up with?
Well, two players I just want fans to keep an eye on. Victor Soderstrom from Brynäs in the Swedish Hockey League, a right-handed defenseman, 5'11", 179. One of the most improved prospects in Sweden, according to Goran Stubb, NHL Director of European Scouting. And the other player I just want to mention, Ville Heinola, defenseman, 5'11", 178. Excellent skater with hockey sense, good playmaker, one of the most improved players in Finland, according to Stu. Now, I remember Heinola had a real good World Juniors. He represented Finland, was having a great tournament before he was knocked out by a big hit, one of the Maxim Comtois, I believe, right, G? I think knocked out Heinola in that tournament. But Heinola plays in all situations. When he returned to the team in Lukko, he was exceptional, has real good hockey sense, a lot of patience, and makes plays with confidence. So I like him to possibly sneak into the top 15 somewhere.
All right, very good. So Guillaume Lepage from the NHL offices in Montreal, thanks for coming on, G. Good stuff.
Thanks, G.
Appreciate being here. Thanks, guys.
All right, that's going to do it for the first edition of the all-new NHL Draft Class. Mike, good debut episode. Good start.
Looking forward to future editions.
Absolutely. And Mike and I will be with you every step of the way between here and the 2019 NHL Draft in Vancouver. You can listen to NHL Draft Class everywhere you get your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, as well as at nhl.com/podcasts. For Mike Morial, I'm Adam Kimmelman. Until we talk next time, NHL Draft Class is dismissed. Thank you all for listening.